Hello and welcome to this program in the footsteps of St. Peter. In the Acts of the Apostles we read, quote, "And Peter directed his gaze at him with John and said, 'Look at us.' And he fixed his attention upon them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, 'I have no silver and gold, but I give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk.' And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. Like the lame beggar at the beautiful gate who was healed by the power of Christ through the words of St. Peter and then got up and followed him into the temple, let us also follow in the footsteps of St. Peter. In this program, we listen to and reflect on the teaching of the successors of St. Peter, the popes, throughout the centuries. Hello, my name is Father Boniface, and it is my pleasure to lead you in this program featuring a papal teaching on St. Joseph, given by St. John Paul II, an apostolic exhortation entitled Redemptoris Custos. We will cover a few paragraphs of that apostolic exhortation, paragraphs 17 to 20 in today's program, beginning Section 3 of that document, which is entitled, A Just Man, a Husband. St. John Paul does a beautiful job of weaving together scripture with insights about St. Joseph that have come through the tradition and giving us a sure teaching about that great saint who was made the father of our Lord Jesus Christ, not his eternal father, but the earthly father God called to take care of him, not a father biologically, but a father by rights and by vocation. And we'll reflect on that just man, that husband of Mary, which is the origin of his fatherhood for Jesus, as we begin Redemptoris Custos, Part 3, Paragraph 17. In the course of that pilgrimage of faith, which was his life, Joseph, like Mary, remained faithful to God's call until the end. While Mary's life was the bringing to fullness of that fiat first spoken at the Annunciation, at the moment of Joseph's own Annunciation, he said nothing. Instead, he simply did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. And this first doing became the beginning of Joseph's way. The Gospels do not record any word ever spoken by Joseph along that way, but in the silence of Joseph, but the silence of Joseph has its own special eloquence, for thanks to that silence we can understand the truth of the Gospel's judgment that he was a just man. Just to make a brief comment there, St. John Paul II gives us a new point to reflect on. Joseph's way. Joseph's way is a way of silence, a way of silent doing. We could say that Mary spoke her fiat. She said to the angel, "Be it done to me according to your word." Joseph did his fiat. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Joseph's way is a way of submitting to God's will, accepting and choosing God's will by doing, taking action. We continue. One must come to understand this truth, for it contains one of the most important testimonies concerning man and his vocation. Through many generations, the Church has read this testimony with ever greater attention and with deeper understanding, drawing, as it were, what is new and what is old from the storehouse of the noble figure of Joseph. Above all, the just man of Nazareth possesses clear characteristics of a husband. Luke refers to Mary as a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph. even before the mystery figure for ages, the mystery hidden for ages, began to be fulfilled, the Gospels set before us the image of husband and wife. According to Jewish custom, marriage took place in two stages. First, the legal or true marriage was celebrated, and then, only after a certain period of time, the husband brought the wife into his own house. Thus, before he lived with Mary, Joseph was already her husband. Mary, however, preserved her deep desire to give herself exclusively to God. One may well ask how this desire of Mary's could be reconciled with a wedding. The answer can only come from the saving events as they unfold, from the special action of God Himself. From the moment of the Annunciation, Mary knew that she was to fulfill her virginal desire to give herself exclusively and fully to God, precisely by becoming the mother of God's Son. Becoming a mother by the power of the Holy Spirit was the form taken by her gift of self, a form which God Himself expected of the Virgin Mary, who was betrothed to Joseph. Mary uttered her fiat. The fact that Mary was betrothed to Joseph was part of the very plan of God. This is pointed out by Luke and especially by Matthew. The words spoken to Joseph are very significant. Do not fear to take Mary your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. These words explain the mystery of Joseph's wife. In her motherhood, Mary is a virgin. In her, the Son of the Most High assumed a human body and became the Son of Man. Addressing Joseph through the words of the angel, God speaks to him as the husband of the Virgin of Nazareth. What took place in her through the power of the Holy Spirit was also confirmed in a special way the marriage bond which already existed between Joseph and Mary. God's messenger was clear in what he said to Joseph, "Do not fear to take Mary, your wife, into your home." Hence, what had taken place earlier, namely Joseph's marriage to Mary, happened in accord with God's will and was meant to endure. In her divine motherhood, Mary had to continue to live as a virgin, the wife of her husband. We pause again for a little commentary on these passages from Redemptoris Custos, the apostolic exhortation of St. John Paul II. We're reflecting on the nature of Joseph as a husband and a just man. He is truly the husband of Mary. Pope John Paul had said earlier in this document that just as important as it is to guard the doctrine of Mary's virginity, so important is it to guard the doctrine of the authentic marriage of Joseph and Mary. That authentic marriage makes Joseph the husband of Jesus, the husband of Mary, and the father of Jesus, and thus makes Jesus a son of Joseph, a son of David, a son of Abraham. Here, Pope John Paul reflects on the nature of the marriage of Joseph and Mary. As I reflected a little earlier, Joseph's fiat, his yes to the Lord, was spoken by his action. He did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. Pope John Paul calls this Joseph's way. He later mentions that Mary uttered, she spoke her fiat. We might say that this is Mary's way. She gives God permission to do whatever he will. She opens her life to him to be led. And there is something that is appropriately complementary in male and female in this regard. As a dimension of masculinity is that initiating or that giving, if we just think of the marital act, for example, and then a dimension of femininity is that yielding, that receiving. And that beautiful complementarity is an image of the Holy Trinity, the Father who gives everything, the Son who receives everything from the Father. And of course, there is a reciprocity in that as well. As the Son returns the Father's love, so the woman returns the man's love, and human beings return God's love. St. John Paul reflects a little bit on the marriage of Joseph and Mary. One aspect of that marriage is the fact that Mary had already had a desire to give herself exclusively to God. There's a lot of speculation about a vow of virginity. there wouldn't be something normally in the Jewish context that would have constituted a vow of virginity. But it seems that Mary had at least consecrated herself in her heart, thus explaining her response to the angel at the Annunciation, "How can this be, since I do not know man?" That she must have already been in a consecrated relationship with God in which she had promised herself. We can also reflect on the impact that would have had in the marriage. Various theologians have reflected on what Joseph's response to this is, or his reception of this. Some have proposed, and some visionaries have seen, that Joseph was also intending to be virginal in the marriage. There's a beautiful scene described in the vision by the visionary Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, in which Mary hesitantly reveals her intention to remain virginal to Joseph, only with great joy and delight to find out that he had the same intention. But that, of course, makes for a very weird marriage. A marriage between two people who intend to remain virgins would be hard to understand as a marriage. And this is where we see the faith of both Joseph and Mary as well. Joseph and Mary were able to accept this apparent contradiction in faith. They felt that God was calling them to marriage and that he was calling them to remain virginal, and they didn't know how that would work out. But as St. John Paul reflects, what took place in Mary through the power of the Holy Spirit also confirmed in a special way the marriage bond which already existed between Joseph and Mary. One of the missing pieces of marriage between two virgins is obviously the fruit of that marriage, of children. But since their marriage did bear fruit, and in fact it bore the greatest fruit of all, we might say that every conception longs to be a conception of God himself, that every baby a married couple accepts into their family, they hope will be the Word made flesh, the Son of God and Son of Man. But in Joseph and Mary's marriage, that was actually the case. Their marriage bore the greatest fruit. And in some sense, we might say that to then seek to bear another fruit would be a step down. They had already received everything. They had already found the fulfillment of their marriage in the conception of the Word, the Son of God, in the womb of Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so, as St. John Paul said, this confirmed in a special way the marriage bond. They already had the marriage bond of fidelity, the marriage bond of a lifelong sacrament, and this gave them the marriage bond, the authentic quality of marriage, which is the fruitfulness of that marriage. St. John Paul II thus reflects on the movement of Mary in giving herself, and also in St. Joseph of receiving that gift and remaining open with her to the miracle that God wanted to work in the context of their marriage. Let us continue our reading from Redemptoris Custos, the apostolic exhortation of John Paul II on St. Joseph. Petrus Beatus, Carinacum Laureus, Christo We continue our reading of the apostolic exhortation Redemptoris Custos on St. Joseph, given to us by St. John Paul II. In paragraph 19, we read, "In the words of the Annunciation by night, Joseph not only heard the divine truth concerning his wife's indescribable vocation, he also heard once again the truth about his own vocation. The just man, who in the spirit of the noblest traditions of the chosen people, loved the Virgin of Nazareth, and was bound to her by a husband's love, was once again called by God to this love. Joseph did as the angel commanded him. He took his wife into his home. What was conceived in Mary was of the Holy Spirit. From expressions such as these, are we not to suppose that his love as a man was also given new birth by the Holy Spirit? Are we not to think that the love of God, which has been poured forth into the human heart through the Holy Spirit, molds every human love to perfection? This love of God also molds, in a completely unique way, the love of husband and wife, deepening within it everything of human worth and beauty, everything that bespeaks an exclusive gift of self, a covenant between persons, and an authentic communion according to the model of the Blessed Trinity. We'll just stop there for a moment to make a little bit of commentary. St. John Paul has just given us some beautiful things to reflect on. One of the things that he says is that Joseph is noble in the spirit of the noblest traditions of the chosen people. Joseph is noble, and his nobility means that he loved the Virgin Mary, bound himself to her by a husband's love. I'd like to just pause for a moment to let that sink in. For a man to be truly noble is to really love his wife, to really bind himself by a husband's love to his wife. And we could say, for each one of us to be noble is to love the Virgin Mary. Loving the Virgin Mary brings out nobility, especially in men. A noble man sacrifices himself for his beloved. A noble man treats with tenderness, sensitivity, and affection his beloved. A noble man works, slaves away, and provides for his beloved. A noble man listens to his beloved to understand her needs and to understand the words of her heart. Joseph is in that noble tradition of the chosen people. He loved the Virgin of Nazareth. Then St. John Paul speaks about the nature of their marriage, and he speaks about it in all of those wonderful terms that we learn to appreciate in his theology of the body. The Holy Spirit gave new birth to his love. His human love for Mary became divinized by the Holy Spirit. St. John Paul says, are we not to think that the love of God, which has been poured forth into the human heart through the Holy Spirit, molds every human love to perfection? St. Joseph's love was perfected by the Holy Spirit. The love of God also molds in a completely unique way the love of husband and wife, deepening within it everything of human worth and beauty, everything that bespeaks an exclusive gift of self, a covenant between persons, an authentic communion according to the model of the Blessed Trinity. That exclusive gift of self, that covenant between persons, that authentic communion, that's what married couples are called to. After the model of the Blessed Trinity, as we hear these words, it challenges us, challenges those who are married, and it challenges each of us to pray for holy marriages that can truly be like the marriage of Mary and Joseph, that can truly be like the communion in the Blessed Trinity. We continue our reading from Redemptoris Custos, picking up the end of paragraph 19 and continuing through paragraph 20. Quoting from Matthew chapter 1, Joseph took his wife, but he knew her not until she had borne a son. St. John Paul comments, these words indicate another kind of closeness in marriage. The deep spiritual closeness arising from marital union and the interpersonal contact between man and woman have their definitive origin in the Spirit, the giver of life. Joseph, in obedience to the Spirit, found in the Spirit the source of love, the conjugal love which he experienced as a man. And this love proved to be greater than this just man, could ever have expected within the limits of his human heart. In the liturgy, Mary is celebrated as united to Joseph, the just man, by a bond of maternal and virginal love. There are really two kinds of love here, both of which together represent the mystery of the Church, virgin and spouse, as symbolized in the marriage of Mary and Joseph. Virginity or celibacy for the sake of the kingdom not only does not contradict the dignity of marriage, but presupposes and confirms it. Marriage and virginity are two ways of expressing and living the one mystery of the covenant of God with his people, the covenant which is a communion of love between God and human beings. Through his complete self-sacrifice, Joseph expressed his generous love for the Mother of God and gave her a husband's gift of self, even though he decided to draw back so as not to interfere in the plan of God, which was coming to pass in Mary. Joseph obeyed the explicit command of the angel and took Mary into his home, while respecting the fact that she belonged exclusively to God. On the other hand, it was from his marriage to Mary that Joseph derived his singular dignity and his rights in regard to Jesus. It is certain that the dignity of the Mother of God is so exalted that nothing could be more sublime. Yet because Mary was united to Joseph by the bond of marriage, there can be no doubt that Joseph approached as no other person ever could that eminent dignity whereby the Mother of God towers above all creatures. Since marriage is the highest degree of association and friendship, involving by its very nature a communion of goods, it follows that God, by giving Joseph to the Virgin, did not give him to her only as a companion for life, a witness to her virginity and protector of her honor. He also gave Joseph to Mary in order that he might share through the marriage pact in her own sublime greatness. In these paragraphs, St. John Paul II again draws us close to the mysteries. He first of all speaks about the great love in St. Joseph's heart, a love which he says proved to be greater than this just man could have ever expected within the limits of his human heart. This is what God wants to do with each one of us. He wants to make us love more than we ever imagined possible. And he wants to do that in whatever way is natural to us. Those two settings of marriage and virginity are key settings. But God wants to teach us to love as he loves, far beyond the expectations we could have had for the human heart. St. John Paul speaks about these two kinds of love, marriage and virginity, virgin and spouse. These represent the mystery of the Church. The Church is both virginal and spousal, spouse of our Lord Jesus Christ, and yet virginal. The Church brings forth new life in the same way that the Blessed Virgin Mary did, miraculously. St. John Paul also reflects on the complete self-sacrifice of St. Joseph in his generous love for Our Lady, his gift of self. When he drew back from her, it wasn't out of a lack of love. It was rather a desire not to interfere in God's plans. God was doing something radically new in Mary, and Joseph didn't want to interfere with that, didn't want to get in the way. Lastly, St. John Paul speaks about the greatness of St. Joseph precisely through the marriage with Mary. He receives her title. He receives her dignity. He receives her greatness by associating himself so closely with her. With those thoughts, we'll conclude our program. Let us continue reaching out to St. Joseph, asking St. Joseph for his help, for his guidance. And let us give glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. My name is Father Boniface, and it has been my pleasure to read to you from the Apostolic Exhortation of John Paul II, entitled Redemptoris Custos. We have covered paragraphs 17 to 20 in today's program.